musicians and their kids, hilarious family brawls, cops running fake lie detector tests, all kinds of shenanigans. Want to turn your bad mood into a good mood? Check out the hardback, the e-version, or the Amazon Kindle version, or even the audiobook version. It's all available on Amazon or at badmoodgoodmood.com.
Don't worry if you missed our grand opening. It's not too late to get your young athlete training at Champions Village in Fenton. Champions Village is the brand new state-of-the-art baseball and softball training center that features batting cages, interactive hit tracks, pitching mounds, turf training, and a full infield. And don't forget about the Napudi Wellness Center and STL Athletic Development, where kids get complete training for all sports. Eric Napudi and Leo Deering help put Champions Village at the top of every athlete's training regimen. Check us out at championsvillage.net.
Most RVers in December are heading south, but not Adrian. She's heading for Harmony State Park in Indiana. New Harmony is one of those places that was out of the way 100 years ago and is still out of the way. Sunday night it rains for 14 hours. Monday she calls. It's cold here and the campground is flooded. I better leave. The snow has begun. The wind is blowing at 40 miles an hour and the wind chill is minus 10. She calls from a rest stop. The motorhome is warm, but there's nobody on the highway. Gee, I wonder why. About 7:05 on the longest day, the Four Winds creeps down our narrow, snow-covered street. Adrian backs into Grandma's drive and just sits in the driver's seat, bleeding off the adrenaline. Grandma has been an RVer since the 1950s, so the two veterans talk as though the adventure was just another trip. As for me, I was glad the ordeal was over, and I didn't even go. RVs create memories, some more vivid than others. See what it's all about at Byerly, just 15 minutes west of I-270 on I-44 in Eureka.
McBride Homes, Missouri's largest home builder, has a great deal for you during their New Year's sales event. Buy a new McBride home and for a limited time get 2018 pricing. That's right. This is your last chance at 2018 pricing. And McBride has nearly 100 market homes ready for a quick move-in, marked down, with tremendous savings. With nearly 40 communities in St. Louis, there's a McBride home for every price point and in every part of town, so there's no reason to wait. So celebrate a fresh start with the new year in a new McBride home. Visit McBrideHomes.com for details.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Well, it seems like it's been at least 3 weeks. Well, because it has been 3 weeks since we spoke with Dan Buffa. He is out of the green room. He's been in the green room since 10 o'clock this morning. Nobody knows. There was a do not disturb sign hanging outside the door of the green room. Some steam rolling out from under the door. I heard a couple of what sounded like female voices saying, ooh. So I don't know what happened in there, but boy, look at him. Does he look relaxed or what? Ladies and gentlemen, after 3 long weeks, it is my great pleasure to reintroduce to you the man who's brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States, the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues, and the preferred window of Paul. If you want more information, go to windowworldstlouis.com. Please welcome back, if you would, Dan Buffa.
Hey.
Whoa, look at the crowd. What a crowd. Wow. Standing ovation.
This is a larger ovation. Anybody got at the Golden Globes on Sunday? I basically beat them all with that ovation.
Well, and who couldn't? What a horrible, boring show that was. Welcome back after 2 holiday absences. Boy, do we have a lot to talk about. And if you don't mind, and let me start off by giving the numbers. Folks, the way this works now is if you have a question about something you heard was coming on television, something you may not have seen that Dan may have, you want to know if he thinks it's any good, or if you have a contribution, if you've discovered something at the theater or something on TV you think the rest of us would enjoy, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Now, if you don't mind, I called you this morning and I asked you about Project Blue Book, and you didn't know a lot about it. Have you had a chance to do any checking? Because I did.
Yeah, the cast. I like the couple people on the cast. The guy from Game of Thrones is in this series. I think he's the star.
I forgot to mention. This is kind of important. This is a 10-parter. It starts tonight on the History Channel. And Project Blue Book is essentially about It's all based on facts and documentation from the government between 1952 through 69. It ended at the end of the 1950s.
Hey, shut up with the 69 laughing.
And it, what I like about it, even though I think a lot of the UFO stuff is just, you know, roll your eyes and write, this is all based on government facts. And I'm going to give it two episodes. I'm going to give it tonight, and then I don't know if it's nightly or if it's next week. I didn't bother to check. After two, I'll be in or I'll be out. What do you think based on what you've read?
I like the fact that they're blending real historical events with also like UFO theories. I mean, I think that's a perfect backdrop for telling a dramatic like a drama series. You have to have a little bit of a, you know, stuff you may not know or they make up, and then kind of leave it for the viewer to figure out if it's real or not. I'm interested because I do. If somebody tomorrow said, "Hey, we have proof that UFOs are around," I would not be surprised. Every time I watch James Cameron's The Abyss, I always think that there's so much out there that has not been accounted for. There's so much in the universe out there that if somebody told me that they came here one time and they left, I wouldn't be surprised. So anything to do with UFOs, I'm usually pretty into.
What year did we go to the moon?
Oh, the 1961. First man. It was
69
just,
because I was born that week.
Yeah. I mean, that's what, the Ryan Gosling film.
69.
Okay, shut up.
69 and aliens, man. Moon. This is
so
it.
So that 69 has been...
shut up.
Cannot be stopped.
So that's been, what, almost 50 years ago?
Yeah.
Right? Well, in fact, this year it is 50 years. The reason I ask that is this. As much as I want to believe, and sort of do believe, that the whole UFA, two guys out fishing, and they had eight beers, and they look up and they see a thing and it landed in the field, as much as I want to think, well, that's just two guys that were drunk and has no credibility.
You said UFA.
Unrestricted free agent.
Yeah, oh, that's a sports term, Frank.
No, yeah. No. Let me explain to you stupid morons what UFA means.
Okay.
Whoa.
Unidentified flying aircraft. It's a term seldom used.
Oh,
high,
wow.
The highest of government levels. And I'm sorry, every once in a while I forget how stupid you guys are. Wow. And you don't. Yeah. You think that what I say is a mistake, when in fact it's just superior knowledge. So I apologize for that.
That's amazing.
So on one hand, I want to think it's just a bunch of crap. But here's the deal. And you said, well, if they did come and hover and land in a field or something in 1952 or 54 or whatever, why didn't they come back? Well, then why didn't we go back to the moon for 50 years? And for some reason, I thought about that this morning, and I thought, well, we went there, we got some dirt and got some rocks, and we did what we wanted to do, and we came back. Maybe if this stuff actually happened, maybe that's what they did. They saw what they wanted to see and abducted a couple of people and probed them, and that was it. They're done.
We went to the moon a couple of times.
I kind of think that they basically...
Yes, but it's all been a year. John, we didn't go back for years and years and years. Yeah. My point is, we did it and we're done and we haven't been back forever.
John Glenn said the nightclubs up there were just boring. And it was
I mean, I think the aliens, if they saw one glimpse of humanity, they just go, "Yeah, we're done. Let's just go back to our spaceship. These people are doomed."
Before we talk about this anymore, Dan Buffa, do you believe we've been visited by other whatever?
Gun to my head, yes. I would say, I would even say 65-35, yes. I think we have been at some point.
Oh, gun to my head, if I had to bet my life on it, I'd say yes.
Wow, Dan.
I would say yes.
Limey?
No.
Oh!
And I am in the no.
Big
I'm in the
fat no.
No. Camp. I'm in the no.
I like this. We're divided.
I say no.
It's,
because it doesn't, it never, the encounters never seemed to be with credible people to me, where there was an actual sighting. It was always the guys fishing.
I think we worked with a few aliens over the years.
Probably, yeah.
You hope you're not talking about me when you say that, dude.
A few radio,
John Hadley looks like a Martian.
A few radio personalities have probably been aliens.
I say we'll all know in two episodes, and if somebody can quickly find out, this thing is tonight. Is it nightly or is it weekly?
It is weekly. It is every week, and it looks like, 10 episodes?
Right.
Yeah, so 10 episodes, and yeah, it's every, because I'm looking at IMDb, and it's the 8th, 15th, 22nd, so yeah, it's every week. So Not okay. Like Netflix. You can't get the whole 10 hours in one night, which would be great with a UFO series.
All right, Project Blue Book, History Channel starts tonight. We've said enough. We'll all know in a couple of episodes.
We will, yeah.
This
two
is
episodes.
Worth watching. That's what I always give it, two episodes. All right, what all do we need to get caught up on here?
Well, you know, in the last couple of weeks, of course, every moviegoer knows that January is kind of a dumping ground for studios. There's not a lot of great movies. The first one that I can't wait to see comes out in a couple of weeks. It's called Glass. It's M. Night Shyamalan's finale to his trilogy with Unbreakable and Split. But other than that, I mean, in the last 2 weeks, usually St. Louis is getting stuff that's been released in L.A. and New York. So there are two movies. I was going to do a top 15 list, but I want to save that. I want to do a couple movies that came out in the time that I've been away, or that we've been on holiday break. So there's two movies. One, the first one is directed by Adam McKay, and it's called Vice. And it
isn't he Will Ferrell's buddy?
He is. He started out his career by doing like movies like Talladega Nights, Anchorman, and then all of a sudden he did a movie about the stock market called The Big Short, and it won an Oscar for screenplay, and then all of a sudden he was kind of like rocketed into the drama category of movies. But with Vice, which Christian Bale deservedly won, that's one of the categories the Golden Globes got right.
Even though I can't stand him and I haven't seen the movie, from what I've seen of the trailers, what a transformation.
Can you believe it? Yeah, it reminded me of Gary Oldman and yes. Darkest Hour, where you just, is that really Gary Oldman in there?
Right.
And it's a movie, now I gotta say this before we really get into it, that it's kind of a satire. It's not really, of course, nobody's written a book. Dick Cheney would never agree to any movie about him. So a lot of this is investigative reporting. It is kind of off the top of his, it's more like a comedy. I mean, people were really taking this movie wrong. I went into it as a completely middle ground, just hoping to learn something and laugh a lot. And I laugh so much. This movie is hilarious. Adam McKay's
really?
Comedy background plays a big part. It's kind of like with Peter Farrelly and Green Book, how he managed to put some comedy into that story. Here,
is it comedy in the sense that they're making fun of Dick Cheney?
Yeah, it's like satire. It's kind of like winking humor where you go, wow. I mean, they have some fun with him, and Donald Rumsfeld's played by Steve Carell. Amy Adams plays Dick Cheney's wife. She's great. And, I mean, Christian Bale, I think there's a lot of reasons before this movie to say that he may be the guy that can probably stand next to Daniel Day-Lewis when it comes to completely immersing himself in a role. And right. This one, there's just no doubt. I mean, I left this movie and I thought, man, Dick Cheney should give a part of his birth certificate to Christian Bale. Just hand it over. Because he put him on the big screen. I found out a little bit about Dick Cheney, and I also laughed a lot because they kind of look at him like he is, as Christian Bale said in his speech, he says, "I was inspired by Satan in playing this role." And, you know, again, I think they dig
in. When somebody says something like that, that says to me that Dick Cheney, what he's saying is Dick Cheney was as evil as a person could be.
And
inspired by Satan means evil.
And really, I believe in that. I mean, if you see what he did when he got into politics, and really Donald Rumsfeld was his inspiration. When he saw him give a speech, he wanted to be next to that guy. He wanted to be in politics. And the way that he influences George W. Bush, played by Sam Rockwell really well, he was nominated for a Golden Globe as well. The movie, it makes you believe that he was this, you know, titanic, kind of a tyrant in this White House. Like, he was like the guy that was working Bush kind of like a puppet. And I believe it. And I think Adam McKay, he's been hit with some smack because nobody knows how much of it is true, but I think that he did his homework, but he also was going to make kind of a satire here, a satirical kind of comedy that wasn't really completely 100% fact-based, but, man, it is entertaining, it's funny. I think if you know nothing, if you're just kind of an independent, if you're kind of like not a Democrat or Republican, you just want to go in for a good story, I think you can enjoy this movie. And also, again, Christian Bale, fantastic as Dick Cheney.
I was surprised that Vice did not get big numbers from either the critics or the moviegoers. If you look
Rotten
Tomatoes, it didn't do well.
Yeah, and I think people, you know, look, it's impossible to go into these films for some people to go, well, I'm a Republican. I'm not going to. If he makes one shot about Dick Cheney, I'm going to hate this movie. And I think that's completely feasible. People can't really put their politics aside. For me, I'm not really a hardcore left-wing or right-wing guy, so I kind of went into it going, tell me about this guy, and make a case that he did have a big impact on this White House. And also the way that, you know, foreign relations and policy and all that has changed over the last 10 years. So I was convinced by Adam McKay's version of Dick Cheney's story, but other people may not be. I mean, if you don't like it, this is like kind of going up to a bar and telling the bartender, pour me the stiffest drink you have. And sometimes you're going to drink it and like it, and sometimes you're going to drink and go, no, I hated that. I'm never going to this bar again. I wanted to have a lot of drinks at this bar. Let's put it that way.
Okay. ARD is I just forgot
Vice.
The name of it.
Vice. Yeah, because as George W. Bush says, I want you to be my vice. That's basically the whole thing behind the title. Limey, I'm going to put you to the test. I'm going to go 3.5.
Okie dokie. Mm.
No, easy. Easy.
All right, Dan. All right.
Piece of cake. Why don't you give him something hard to do?
Give me 3.25.
I'm going to go 3.15.
Let's take a quick call. Go ahead, Dan.
Let's do it.
I was going to say, is one of the movies you're going to talk about Holmes and Watson?
You know, I have not watched that movie, but every critic... It got destroyed. I mean,
I know.
For a movie with Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly, two guys that have made Step Brothers, Talladega Nights, this movie, people walked out of it.
Yeah,
critics that I know, they walked out of it.
Hang on, hold that thought. Let's get Tim in here. Folks, if you want to jump in here.
Tim hung on.
Yeah. Oh, he's gone.
We can talk to the other Tim, but he's leaving us, so I don't really see the point.
Oh.
See, that's not even, that's not, I'll tell you why that's not funny. Let's say that a lot of people just tuned in the last 10 minutes. They have no idea what that meant. See? Stick with me. You'll learn the radio business. All right. The Tim that was on the phone is no longer on the phone. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. So continue. Let's talk quickly, because it won't take long, about this Holmes-Watson thing. I don't like Laurel and Hardy, for the most part. I never found them that funny. I like John C. Reilly. I can take Tim a little bit of Will Ferrell, but then a little goes a long way. But yeah, this movie underwhelmed a lot of people, apparently, and just barely showed up on the radar.
I mean, let's put it this way. Rotten Tomatoes, it's about a 9%.
Wow.
Metascore, which kind of goes from 0 to 100, is at a 24.
Wow.
And I think it has to be the worst reviewed movie of Will Ferrell's career.
I was really excited to see this movie because,
me too.
I love Will Ferrell John C. Reilly. The two of them together, hilarious. Step Brothers, Talladega Nights, come on.
Magic Man.
Oh, Magic Man. Just so good. And Holmes and Watson, I saw some of the trailers, I saw some of the previews, and I thought it looked great. And then they did that one joke where they're trying to take a selfie with Queen Victoria or something, and that is where it killed me. Like, they could have done a really good, funny, kind of like period piece making fun of Sherlock Holmes. But
and they have some great actors. I mean, they have Ralph Fiennes, Steve Coogan, Kelly
McDonald. No, it's Rafe.
It's Rafe.
Rafe.
Yes, he does not pronounce it Ralph.
Oh,
it's Rafe.
Man, I don't want to make the Harry Potter bad guy mad. He might get me in my dreams.
No, and it was because he was on, I can't remember what show he was
Rafe?
On.
Rafe Fiennes.
Yeah, Rafe, but his grandma couldn't pronounce his name or something. And she called him Rafe.
Okay, Rafe. But usually I have a buddy, a comedian who's Rafe, but it's R-A-F-E is how he spells his name. But I will call Mr. Fiennes Rafe from now on because he plays a pretty good bad guy in Schindler's List and in Harry Potter. So,
all right, let's get this Watson thing. How many ARDs? I don't even hear one
I didn't even watch it. I'm going to be honest with you. But every critic that I know, two critics that I call probably the most reliable people that in St. Louis have said, I walked out of it. And then the other one said that it's
based just on what other people have said. Limey, give it a half
ARD. Gosh, yeah.
All right, I got you.
That's being nice.
All right. Oh, no.
Oh, man. That was three quarters.
Three quarters. I got cocky. Hang on a second.
Will Ferrell said thank you.
All right. There we go.
There you go.
Tim is back.
Yeah.
Tim is back. Let's go. Let's talk to Tim. Tim, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dan Buffa.
Hey, Dan Buffa.
Hi, Dan. How
hello.
You, brother.
That was good.
That's Dan's bit. What's up, Tim?
Tim, Frank, I owe an apology. I didn't know why you left the old station, but when I found out why, I'm back at the AM and the PM.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
No, there was a solid on your part. But I got a joke for you. I don't know if I heard it from you years ago or not, but it's got Timbuktu in it. Do you remember that?
Oh, my goodness. I've told it 50 times. It's the poetry competition.
Well, if you know it, I don't need to repeat it, I think.
I'll tell you what I'll do. You know what I'll do for you, Tim? I will tell it today.
Do it. It's a great joke.
Okay. Well, done. Did you have anything for the segment here, the movies, TV shows, anything?
No, but I got a joke. Did you hear about the bartender that was going down the bar to see if the gal needed another cocktail? And he said, you want another martini? She says, no, if I have more than three martinis, I get heartburn. And he said, well, I got to tell you, son, they're not martinis or martinis. It's not heartburn. You get your left tit in the ashtray.
Oh. Hit the button. Yeah, we had to button him out because he said a word that, for some reason, I don't know. Just to play it safe, we'll cut that word out. All right, Tim, thank you for the call, even though it had nothing to do with the segment we're in. We don't
You're
care.
Welcome.
Thank you.
You just never know.
Okay, there goes Tim. Man. And now back to Mr. Buffa.
You just never know.
can I make a quick comment about Netflix and Amazon? And here's the comment. I know that if you let the entertainment system, it will eat you alive financially. You can pay this subscription, that subscription, then you got your regular cable, and before you know it, you're $200-$300 a month. And for people who go, well, you know, Amazon and Netflix, you have to pay for that stuff. Here's what I was thinking about this morning. I don't go to concerts much at all. Rarely do I go to a concert. And lots of people go to concerts for the price of a really good ticket to a good concert. I can watch a year's worth of terrific programming, hours and hours and hours on yeah. either Netflix or Amazon or maybe both. And that's the way I look at it. It's what is the price of good entertainment and what are you willing to pay? Now, there are people that pay $200 to go to see Elton John, Billy Joel, which I went to that and the tickets were given to us. I got news for you. Any day, it's all about priorities and how you want to spend whatever money you have. Any day, I would spend that $200 on subscriptions to Netflix and Amazon, and I would end up with so many hours of great entertainment. So I disagree. I think, in fact, those two things, if you had nothing else and you didn't care about local access or news, my goodness, you can have a lot of tremendous entertainment, well-produced, well-written on both of those.
I agree, and I have said if I had to cut every bit of cable I had, I would keep Netflix. They have live concerts. I mean, the Bruce Springsteen thing is on Netflix right now. That's a live show from New York, and they have TV shows. They have fresh original movies. And speaking of which, I watched the most popular Netflix movie ever. This thing has been second only to Stranger Things, 26 million views, Bird Box. And last week it came out the Friday before Christmas, and everybody has watched this, and I kind of held off. I wanted to see the reaction to it, and I watched it last night. I was in kind of a Sandra Bullock. Is it Sandra Bullock or Bullock? Is it Bullock?
It's Buttocks. It's Sandra Buttocks.
Buttocks. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
she was Sandra Buttocks.
Well, I got to say, she is great in this, and people have either liked it or they've hated it. I thought it was good.
The reason I haven't even bothered to watch it is it looks so stupid to me. And here's the other thing. Mm-hmm. It almost looks like somebody went to see A Quiet Place and ripped it off and said, well, instead of not making any sound, let's not let them see. And other than that, it just looks stupid.
Well, I will say that it didn't rip it off. This is based on a novel that was written before John Krasinski made A Quiet Place. And I got to say, if I had to choose one, to not be able to talk or to be blindfolded, I would choose the no voice. Because there's parts of this movie, and the whole idea is that there's an unseen kind of monstrous presence that comes down to Earth, and if you see it, it makes you commit suicide. It preys on your worst fears and your insecurities, And the central character, Mallory, played by Sandra Bullock, is our protagonist. She has two kids, and in the beginning of the film, she is telling her kids, and as a parent, I can totally relate to this. If you're trying to tell kids that are 5 to 10 years old to listen to you, it is a task. And she's telling them to keep the blindfold on. They have to go down a river blindfolded in a boat, and she's telling them to keep the blindfold on. There are so many scenes that are just tense in this movie. My eyes were glued to the screen. I mean, did I finish it and think it was the greatest film of all time? No, but it is a well-spent 2 hours. And I think that again, there are some parts that are
It's only 2 hours?
It's 2 hours. Thing? Yeah,
so
it's a movie.
It's not episodic.
No,
it's one.
It's a movie. It's a movie. It's right, a two-hour film.
I'll watch it. I thought it was a serial thing.
No, no.
Why is it called Bird Box?
In the movie, the idea is that she's carrying birds. Birds can tell you whether the monsters are close. So when they start to chirp and make noise, you know that you have to keep the blindfold on. Because it's not like they're like a Quiet Place monsters. They're kind of invisible. They you know, when they're around, leaves go up in the air. Everything kind of becomes still. It's kind of like a tornado right in front of you that you can't see. You just know it's there. And if you see it, I mean, there's a scene in this movie, Frank, where somebody sees it and they walk into a burning car and sit down. I mean, it's instant.
They do it voluntarily. I mean, they want to burn themselves up.
In the movie, I mean, and of course, the movie it kind of goes back and forth. It goes 5 years after it broke out, and then 5 years before when the monsters first got there. So in the beginning,
Oh, no, sorry, Karen, I got a couple of questions I want to ask.
Okay. For some clarification, though, like Medusa in Clash of the Titans, if you looked at Medusa, you turned to stone.
Yep. Yes.
In this movie, if you look at the
monster,
commit
suicide
you're
instantly.
Going to commit suicide.
Yeah, and the thing is, she's driving in a car with her sister, and they're talking normally, and then she sees it, and then the sister just flips the car over. And then she gets out of the car and walks in front of a bus. I mean, it is so brutal the way they introduced this thing, and a woman comes out trying to help Sandra Bullock's character, and she just all of a sudden sees it and then gets in a car that's on fire. I mean, it's just...
I will now watch it. I'm going to watch it. You've made me now want to watch it.
And again, I will say, the reason I like this movie is Sandra Bullock, man. She's a movie star. She sells this movie. And because if you get anybody... If you get, like... I'm trying to think of somebody that's good but not great, an actress... You know,
Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts is great. I think she can sell it too.
Yeah, she's a great actress.
I just, you know, somebody like Jessica Alba, who I think is gorgeous, can be in like a Sin City. You probably go, nah, she can't sell it. It was a good sound effect. But Sandra Bullock makes this movie.
It wasn't
good.
A sound effect, by the way.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. Man, that was authentic.
That was me. Now, can we talk to Bob quickly, and then I want Limey to throw in. He said he had a couple of questions. Yeah. Bob, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dan Buffa.
Hi, Dan. How are you? AM and PM.
I'm good, Bob. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Yeah. Hey, Frank. I sent you an email a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, what did it say? What was it about?
I am one of those documentary people, like you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I went on Netflix looking for something, and I found something called The Norseman.
Oh, yeah. I did see your email. I have not had a chance to even take a look at what that is yet.
If you want to be dumber after one episode, then watch it.
It's that bad?
Oh, it is horrible.
Well, see, you've already made me now not want to look at it.
The Norseman, it's great. It really is hilarious.
I'm sorry. Is that Limey?
Yeah.
Hey, Bob.
Oof.
Dun, dun, dun.
It was just terrible.
Okay, well, something to stay away from.
Is that a comedy?
Yeah, it kind of is. It's basically like it's a comedy set in Viking times.
Oh.
You know, and it's all about just this little Viking village and all this stuff. And they just kind of make jokes about, you know, how if murdering and raping and plundering was wrong, then why would it be so good for them and stuff like that. And yeah.
Well, that's hilarious.
If Limey with one L and Bob with one O agree on something, I got to see that.
That's it. I will
Hi,
say,
Bob. We may check it out just to see if it's as bad as you say it is.
You might want to do that. Thank you.
Okay, Bob. Thank you. Now, Limey, you had a couple of questions about
Bird Box. One of our listeners has texted, not about Bird Box, actually. They want to know about this whole Disney Plus thing that apparently Disney is kicking off this year. What is it? What do you know about it? And when is it apparently going to kick off?
The theory behind Netflix canceling Daredevil and Luke Cage and all these series that Disney is going to scoop them up, I would think this is going to be coming out, I would say, by the end of the year before. Mm-hmm. They are trying to start their own thing because everybody's got a streaming device. There's no pinpoint date, but the theory is they're going to have original Marvel series, mm-hmm. like characters we haven't seen before. But I think the quiet theory is they're going to bring back Daredevil, but I think it's going to be a PG Daredevil. The thing about Disney is, are they going to be as cutting edge as Netflix and let them tell really dark version of a comic book character that they deserve?
Right.
Are they going to have more of a commercially acceptable, digestible character? There isn't a pinpoint date on when they're going to come out, but I would think that this is going to be, this has been brewing for a while. As far as a launch date for Disney, I would say by the end of the year. Because I don't think they can get through a whole calendar year without putting this thing up.
When they bring out their own service, are they going to, because I know they've started taking off some titles and some TV shows from Hulu or Netflix or Amazon. Are they just going to pull everything from all the other shows? I mean, from the other streaming services? Because there's Star Wars movies, that's owned by Disney, there are several other things.
I mean, there's an article out there that says that Disney streaming could crush Netflix.
Wow.
And I think that it could pretend to or attach itself to the idea that they could pull a lot. I mean, imagine not just canceling a series, but pulling all of Daredevil from Netflix. Imagine people that are just getting into the Defenders and Jessica Jones. And I think it's going to happen when Jessica Jones finishes its third season, that's going to go. Punisher, which I can't wait for, comes back this month with John Bernthal. I think Disney is aiming to not just be the other option. I think they're going to try to crush Netflix. I don't think they will because Netflix gives you so much, like comedy shows, original movies. I don't think Disney can do it. But as far as the comic book shows, I think they're trying to take over that medium.
All right.
Oh, that Netflix. Look where they
I'm
have
telling
gone
you.
From where they were. The first time I ever heard the name Netflix was at the old station, which is not that long ago, and Paul Harvey, who worked with us at the station.
Paul Harris.
Used to, what was his name?
It's Harris. Paul Harris.
Okay.
It's a good film credit.
And I remember, I think it was $8 a month, and you go to the mailbox, and there's a DVD.
Yeah, came in the mail.
And then you return a DVD, and you get another DVD. And so for $8 a month, it was unlimited DVDs. And I thought, well, that's a pretty good deal. And then look where they went. Holy cow. It was either Amazon or Netflix that announced toward the end of last year that they had already budgeted $9 billion for new programming, for the best of the best directors and cast and sets and costuming.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel.
I mean, look at Sandra Bullock. She's going to do a movie, and that movie is the most popular Netflix movie ever. And it's probably going to give a sequel, and that means that a movie star, a legit Oscar-winning movie star, is going to do another Netflix movie.
Julia Roberts.
Homecoming,
TV, which Homecoming, by the way, horrible.
Okay? Oh, horrible. Man, I haven't watched it yet.
It's terrible.
Oh,
it is
man, terrible.
It
kind of looked like the Twilight Zone to me,
it's
a crazy.
Weird, yeah. It's very weird.
One thing that kind of makes me wonder about Netflix is, technically, these movies are straight to DVD or straight to home, right? And back then, that used to kill an actor's career. That would kill a movie star's career if they were in a movie that you just went straight to DVD.
Like, if Clooney went from TV to movies to TV, it was like, okay, something's bad happened to your career.
Right. Whereas now you have these big box office actors like Will Smith and Sandra Bullock and all those, and they're just coming, they release a movie right on Netflix, and next thing you know, it blows up the internet.
And according to one, go ahead.
They do for two reasons. Now the money is there.
Okay? Yeah.
Now the money is there. The budget's there. And two, the quality. Look, if you're an actor and you don't want to be associated with crap and not even B-rated scripts, now they've hired the best of the best writers. So you have an opportunity on television to do projects that are better than they would have been if they'd been on the big screen.
Yeah, exactly. And number three, I'll add a third one to that, Frank, that according to one director that I talked to, it's freedom. It's a I mean, the fact that when he made, when Jeremy Rush made Wheelman, which I think is one of the best Netflix original films, he said that all we did was we told Netflix what we wanted to do, and they said, okay. And they give you, Frank Grillo told me that they give you a few pointers, they give you advice, but they're not on the set. They don't, they're not overbearing. And then when you're done, they go, okay, we know what to do with this now. We'll figure out how to market it. And number one, it's just freedom. Because filmmakers and creators, they want freedom. They don't want to be messed with. They don't want to have an idea and have the studio go, well, can we make this a PG-13 movie? And we're going to release it in 6 theaters for like 4 weeks, and then we're going to pull it out. With Netflix, when it gets released across the world. I mean, it's just crazy. And, of course, look at Rome. Alfonso Cuarón, the director of Rome, won 2 Golden Globes the other night for his Netflix movie. So
a smart entity, a smart TV channel like Netflix or Amazon or whatever, or a smart radio station, the really smart ones hire the best of the best talent and let them do what they do. And I've heard what you just said more than once during interviews with stars where they say, oh my goodness, what a pleasure it is to work for HBO. What a pleasure it is to work for Netflix. Because once they've approved it, they go, you do what you do, we'll stay out of it. And if radio would do that or had done that over the years, my goodness, there had been a lot of people who had really good potential if they had just let them do their thing and not tried to pull them and partner them with people they didn't want to work with, tell them what to say, what not to say. And that's the other part of the success of Netflix and Amazon is they're smart enough to know these people are talented actors and directors.
Oh, yeah.
Let's let them go.
And really, there's one famous situation where Joe Carnahan, who did Narc, he did The Gray. He was going to do Mission Impossible 3, and according to every report, he just didn't like what they wanted to do with his script. He wanted to do it a certain way. The interrogation scene between Philip Seymour Hoffman and Tom Cruise supposedly belongs to Carnahan. It stayed in the movie, but then the studio was like, well, we're going to do this kind of thing, and Joe Carnahan, he just walked off the movie. He didn't want to do it because he couldn't make his movie. And I think if Carnahan now, who has formed a production company with Frank Grillo called War Party and has done 2 movies for Netflix, he wouldn't say that about Netflix. They let him make his movie.
When you say the name's Philip Seymour Hoffman, that name,
yeah,
only one movie comes in my head, Before the Devil Knows You're Dead.
Yeah, yeah. He's
and one of these days, Mr. Buffa, what I'd like to do is for us to make a list of all, not all, but as many as we can come up with of those movies that most people have either never heard of or never seen, but when you watch them, you go, oh my goodness, I can't believe I never saw this. This is fantastic. And one of them is Before the Devil Knows You're Dead.
And one of the best Pulp Fiction ripoffs is Things to Do in Denver When You're Dead with Andy Garcia. It's one of the best. It's a very Pulp Fiction-esque movie, but it's so good. It's got Christopher Walken, Christopher Lloyd from Back to the Future. It's one of those movies that nobody knows about, but it came out, it didn't do well because it came out 2 years after Pulp Fiction, but it's so good. And it's
thanks
so
to you. Every time I see Christopher Walken or hear his name, now, in the privacy of my car or my house, I try to do Christopher Walken. And I can't do it. I could do like, I don't know why. And that's not even good. Go ahead.
Travolta.
It was. It was Christopher Travolta. Go ahead and give them what I think is as good a Christopher Walken as I've ever heard.
Well, have Christopher Walken. You said Christopher Walken and Christopher Lloyd?
Yeah, in both the same movie.
Oh, my God.
Well, I wonder what that would sound like. Let's see.
Okay.
What if we had Christopher Walken and Christopher Lloyd talking together? I think it might start with Christopher Walken saying something like this.
Hey, so you went Back to the Future, right? That's a good movie. Was Michael J. Fox shaking his hands back then or not?
Yeah, it was great. I had 1.21 gigawatts, and we went back in time.
I can't understand a word you're saying.
You know where there's a great Christopher Walken voice? If it, the came out like last year, the oh my goodness, I just lost it. Whole Jungle Book. He
oh yeah.
He's the voice of that big
the orangutan.
Thing.
Yeah,
that's the
yeah.
orangutan
oh,
too.
Oh my goodness, is he? And he's perfect.
I just remember. I remember the SNL skit where he said Christopher Walken now presents Skittles. He's like cherry. Watermelon, grape, tropical flavors for everybody.
It's been a long time. It's been a long time since we are we finished basically with recommendations.
I was going to say to the one caller, Bob, if he doesn't like that documentary, there's a great one out there called Three Identical Strangers. It was my favorite documentary of the year. It is a story you have not heard, but it is an amazing story. So check
my son,
that out.
My second son said to me just last night, he said, Dad, I just finished watching something you have to see. I said, what is it? He said, Three Identical Strangers. I said, I know the story. I said, but I haven't seen it right. Where is it? Is it Netflix?
It is on Amazon. It'll be the best $4 you've ever spent.
Oh, my goodness. I'll watch it. Yeah. I'll have it watched before the end of the week.
Three brothers find each other at 19 years old, but there's so much more to it. What starts out is kind of like a heartwarming story, devolves into like some kind of science fiction experiment story. It's the story is so incredible, it sounds like a movie, and that's the way it plays.
We're not giving anything away if we tell people this, because we talked about this when they announced that the movie was coming out.
It's fantastic.
They're triplets. Identical triplets who were separated as kids, babies, and accidentally discovered each other and reunited. Can you imagine meeting one at a time, two other people who look exactly like you, and you find out you are one of three. You're a triplet. My goodness, what a story. But like Dan said, that's not really the story.
That's not. And really, they found it. The two of them found each other at college. It was just coincidence.
Hey, when you order something like that on Amazon, how long do you get to keep it?
You get it for 48 hours.
Okay.
Unless they've changed it. Because when I got Yellowstone, it was on Amazon. Mm-hmm. They said you have 48 hours. And then, of course, for a series, I had to, like, hustle. But for a movie, you get it at least for 2 days. And I would say this movie, I watched it. I had no idea what it was about. It came out in theaters in St. Louis over the summer. It is number two on my best movies of 2018 list.
Oh, we have to get that because we have Amazon.
How could you have not known what it was about? Don't you listen to this show? We talked a lot.
No, I do know what it's about.
Buffa. Buffa said he didn't know what it was about. We talked about it at length.
I reviewed it this year, but I mean, before I watched it over the summer, I had no idea what it was about. But when I first screened it, this was back in like June, and somebody said, you have to watch this. It's going to be the best documentary of the year. And I was like, okay. And I didn't want to watch anything about it. I didn't want to look at the trailer, the poster, and this movie. I mean, I was just so moved. I called my dad, and I was like, Dad, and he's kind of like my bat signal for when a movie has to be watched. I got, Dad, you have to watch this now. And of course, it wasn't even coming out for 2 weeks.
So. Hey, before we forget about it, so that I don't get the emails, give them, because somebody's going to go, well, what was the name of that movie Dan Buffa was talking about?
Please.
About the three brothers. Give them your email address.
My email is buffa, B-U-F-F-A, 82, at gmail.com, and I will respond. If you're on Twitter, Buffa82. So if you have any movie questions, please ask me, and I'm more than willing to answer.
What's the name of the movie on Amazon?
Three Identical Strangers. It came out over the summer in St. Louis. It better be nominated for an Oscar, or I will not watch that show.
And we have another Bob on the phone.
Bob!
And my son just said exactly what you said. He said it's probably like the best documentary I've ever seen.
It's
Three Identical Strangers.
It's so moving.
Let's get Bob number two in here. Bob number two, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dan Buffa.
Hey, Dan. Bob.
Hello.
It's Bob with 1-0.
Hey.
It is. Happy New Year, all. And I'm going to miss the guy whose name I can't remember, but we're going to miss him a lot.
It's Tim with one eye.
Woodcock.
Woodcock.
Oh, man.
Mr. Woodcock doing the news.
You know what, Buffa? I think you should come into the news as Christopher Walken every day.
I will do it.
Bob, we got about 4 minutes, three and a half. What do you got?
Okay, one thing is you were talking earlier about things you'd like to see happen to child molesters.
All right.
There's a show, a TV series called Black Mirror. I'm sure Dan is familiar with it. one of the episodes sort of touches on that. It's what's called an anthology series, so you don't have to watch them in order. You just go pick the ones that are interesting. There's one called White Bear, and it starts off, you have no idea what's going on. In the end, it all gets told for you. But it kind of deals with that topic, and I would highly recommend spending that 45 minutes of your life.
Where do we find it?
It's a TV series called Black Mirror.
Okay, but what channel?
Netflix.
Netflix.
Yeah, it's called Black Mirror.
Yeah, it's a TV series, and it was described. I heard it on your Friday show when you used to have a guy filling in, the Good Day guy. Anyway, he talked about Black Mirror. It's kind of like Twilight Zone, but just like 20 years ahead. So there's technology that you think, oh, that sounds really cool. But things always go badly. And, you know, kind of like they had an episode where you can go back and look at somebody's memory. You can look at all your memories of everything you've ever seen and anything you've ever done in your life with this little implant. And then it's like, well, you go to the airport and they're like, let's see the last 24 hours that were on your brain. And they can just see everything you were thinking of. But that just turns out bad. So every episode takes a look at technology and how it goes badly. It's called Black Mirror. Black Mirror is the show. Don't watch the first one. It's not representative of the rest of the show. It's about the Prime Minister of Great Britain.
Yeah, don't watch it.
Having sex.
It ruined my Sunday. I watched it. It ruined my Sunday.
It's called National Anthem. Oh. It's a White Bear. I'm sorry. What's the other guy's name?
Can you button
Limey,
that
son.
No, can you button that Limey?
I got you. Okay. I got you. Yeah. I got you.
Limey can tell you. Maloney can tell you about that.
I'll check that out. The reason I haven't discovered it or ever seen it, here's what I do. When I go to Netflix, I don't bother to look through. It's broken out as, you know, movies, documentaries, genres, westerns, thrillers. I never go to look at where it says TV series.
Black Mirror is on the main menu right now. It's that and Bird Box are the two big things to watch. So it's there.
I'll hit them both.
Yeah, but that's all I got.
It's not everybody's cup of tea, but
it should really be.
Like my wife and I can't wait till it comes on. And by the way, you're talking about the Amazon. How long can you watch it? We saw Crazy Rich Asians last weekend. Well, that was my in-laws. But then you get 30 days.
30 days? Well, they changed that.
Yeah, it said I could see Crazy Rich Asians for that.
Real quickly, Bob, is it worth watching Crazy Rich Asians? Is it worth watching?
It's an interesting, nice little movie. It's not, you think it's going to be really funny. It's just really not.
You're right, Bob. I saw it. It's not as funny as it could be.
I think it's kind of like, it's good, but people really went nuts over this movie. I watched it. I didn't get mad about watching it, the time that went into it, but I didn't feel like running to the street and going, you have to watch this right now. I thought it was all right.
We're out of time. We're out of time. Bob, thank you. Don't be a stranger. Thank you, Bob.
Happy New Year, Frank. Love you.
You too, man. And they shouldn't put the name crazy in the title of anything that's not funny or crazy.
No, not really.
We have to acknowledge your sponsor, Window World, windowworldstlouis.com, for more information about the number one selling replacement window in the United States, the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues, and the preferred window of Paul. We will see you again next week. Ladies and gentlemen, Dan Buffa. Thank you.
All right. See you next week.
Real quick, get that email address again, buffa82@gmail.com, is that right?
Yes, sir, that's it.
Okay, buffa82@gmail.com. And speaking of his sponsor, Window World, I am in talks this week with the folks at Window World about what we're going to be doing for 2019. I hope we're able to continue doing everything we have with Window World. I expect nothing more from them. I hope they expect nothing more from us. Window World has been a tremendous partner for this show. They sponsor Mr. Buffa. They sponsor Josh Bauman. They sponsor Bill Cleveland. They sponsor Dr. Doug Pernikoff. You get the idea. Window World, a major player. So, all we ask is this. When the time comes, and it will, that you need replacement windows in your house or entry doors or other things they do that you'll see on their website, please, for goodness sakes, include them when you're shopping. Give Window World a shot at your business. Why wouldn't you? Great value, best-selling replacement window in the country. Why wouldn't you want to take a look at that? WindowWorldSt.Louis.com for more. Whew, went fast, 2 hours, but another hour to go, which includes a joke that the guy who called mentioned it earlier, so I will do it for him. It's the great Timbuktu joke, and it has been told for a while, but it's coming up right here on 590 The Fan, where it is 5 o'clock.
This is Jim Hayes. You are listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. Immediately following President Trump's first primetime Oval Office address to the nation tonight, Democrats Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer will present their case. Trump is expected to make the case for a wall on the southern border. Democrats are expected to demand the government reopen before negotiations on border safety can begin. A slip-up by Paul Manafort's attorneys is giving the public a glimpse of the special counsel's investigation. In a court filing today, Manafort's attorneys failed to properly